this afternoon, Central Standard Time, for some areas of northern Illinois. A second advisory goes into effect at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time this afternoon. Both will remain in effect until 9 a.m. tomorrow Central Time. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, Iroquois and Ford counties are included in the advisory beginning at 4 p.m. this afternoon. A low pressure system is moving into the Great Lakes region to the north of the low across Wisconsin and Michigan. Several inches of snow are likely. Further south and west, the precipitation will be much lighter, with a mixture of light snow, sleet and freezing drizzle possible from southern Iowa across Illinois and into southern Indiana. This could cause hazardous driving conditions tonight and into tomorrow morning. Another system will enter the region on Thursday, bringing another round of mixed precipitation for Thursday night and Friday. This second system could bring several inches of snow to portions of the Midwest, making holiday travel difficult. High temperatures today will range from the mid-20s across southern Wisconsin, southern Michigan, and northern Indiana, to the low 50s across southwestern Missouri. Low temperatures overnight will range from the low 20s across northern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and southern Michigan to the upper 30s across southern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for East Central Illinois in the WILL Severe Weather Coverage Area, a winter weather advisory, will go into effect this afternoon at 4 o'clock for Ford and Iroquois counties. It is to remain in effect until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow. This afternoon, cloudy with snow likely in accumulation up to 1 inch is possible. The high 32, the wind from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance for snow and freezing drizzle. This evening and freezing drizzle after midnight. The temperature will hold steady near 30. The wind will be from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of light freezing rain and freezing drizzle tomorrow morning. The high 35. The wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour, with gusts up to 20 miles per hour tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 22 and a northwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high of 32. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly cloudy with a low Wednesday night of 20 and a high Thursday of 32. Thursday night, cloudy with a chance for snow, a low in the upper 20s. Friday, snow likely with a light accumulation possible, the high in the upper 20s. Temperatures across Illinois and Indiana at noon Central Time ranged from the low 20s to the mid 40s. Rockford checked in with 21 degrees. It was 24 at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. In Bloomington, Normal, 27. Danville reported 28 degrees. Effingham, 35. And Carbondale, 47. At South Bend and Lafayette, 24 degrees, 31 at Terre Haute. Indianapolis reported 28 degrees, and Evansville checked in with a temperature of 33. Willard Airport reported 29 degrees at the top of the hour with some light snow and fog. The dew point, 27. The relative humidity, 92%. The wind out of the east at 13 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill index of 19. The barometric pressure, 30.09 and falling. And at 12:41 Central Time, 30 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. In the foreclosure crisis, Massachusetts is far from the worst-hit state. Still, lenders there filed more than 22,000 foreclosure petitions this year. Half of those properties have already been seized. Anthony Brooks of NPR member station WBUR has a report on one couple who lost their home and what happened next.
In one sense, this story has played out millions of times across the U.S. What's striking about this case is what happened after the family lost their home. Pierre Solon and Katy Familia own the Little Wonders Daycare Center in Boston. It's nap time, and a dozen kids are sleeping on cots underneath brightly colored blankets. Solon is from Haiti and Familia from the Dominican Republic. And while running their business for the past 2 years, they've been fighting to get their home back. 4 years ago, they bought a green clapboard house in Boston's Hyde Park neighborhood. Caddy Familia, a small woman whose eyes flash with determination, says they both took on extra work to pay for it.
We a lot of sacrifice. Sometimes we don't even have food. And he got two jobs. I got two jobs. I lost one. He lost one. And right there, we started, you know, going down. And I said to him, we need to do something.
The couple paid $584,000 for the house and borrowed the entire amount. After they fell behind, the loan servicer, Wells Fargo, foreclosed on the property. The couple moved out a year ago, and last month the bank auctioned off their home. Nadine Cohen is an attorney with Greater Boston Legal Services who's been trying to help them.
They just learned that the bank sold the property to an investor for $115,000.
That's a fraction of the original price.
I think the bank could have offered them a modification of their loan for twice that amount, but the bank would not do that. They would rather see the homeowner be displaced from their home with their children and then sell it to an investor for $115,000.
2 weeks later, that investor flipped the property, selling it to another investor for $270,000.
The broker made money, the investor made money, the servicer makes money, and the homeowners lose out.
For me, it's not fair. It's like we're working hard.
Again, Caddy Familia.
They sell the house for $115,000. This is ridiculous. I think the banks, they play with the people like we are a little toy.
Assigning blame in this story is not straightforward. The couple took on more debt than they could afford. Attorney Nadine Cohen says they were encouraged by a subprime mortgage lender called Fremont Investment and Loan.
They were given two mortgages, and those mortgage payments were almost $5,000 a month, more than their income.
Fremont Investment and Loan was later sued by Massachusetts Attorney General for deceptive loan practices. The company went bankrupt and shut down. By then, its loans had been sold off to investors, and Wells Fargo has been servicing some of those loans. Michael DeVito, a Wells Fargo vice president in the mortgage division, wouldn't comment about this case. He would say that less than 2% of Wells Fargo customers have gone into foreclosure, and the bank does all it can to help borrowers keep their homes.
Wells Fargo has been successful helping over 500,000 customers reach an affordable payment through a loan modification program. It's always preferable from Wells Fargo's point of view to keep the customer in the home.
Another Wells Fargo official said the couple had fallen more than $150,000 behind in their payments, and the couple doesn't dispute that. The bank offered to lower their monthly payments, but that would have increased their mortgage to more than $600,000, so the couple didn't go ahead with a modification. Paul Collier, another attorney who represents homeowners, says Wells Fargo could have worked out a deal benefiting both the bank and the family.
And what the bank got out of it was taking the home of a family who could afford a fair market price for that home in order to punish them for having been victims of a predatory mortgage.
As stories like these continue to unfold, Boston Mayor Tom Menino has proposed a measure that would require lenders to participate in mediation with homeowners before they foreclose on them. If state lawmakers approve, some homeowners might benefit. But attorney Nadine Cohen says it's too late for Pierre Solon and Caddy Familia to get their home back.
I don't think that's going to be possible in this case.
I worked 20 years in this country for this.
Again, Caddy Familia.
I prefer to go back in my country. At least your house, can you say, is yours.
For now, they're renting a small apartment. Familia says their dream of home ownership is no longer possible. For NPR News, I'm Anthony Brooks in Boston.
Many people think of Latin as a dead language, even though it's the source of modern languages from French and Spanish to Portuguese and even parts of English. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports that Latin is not dead yet, even among grade schoolers, as he pays a visit to Champaign's Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club.
Kay Neal started learning Latin as a high school student more than 35 years ago, and she admits that it overwhelmed her.
It just defeated me. I just walked away from it. I dropped out after 3 years, and I was just a Latin dropout.
About a decade later, Kate landed a job as an English editor based in Jordan with a United Nations commission. She says she got the job thanks in part to her excellent English and grammar skills, which she believes were a direct result of studying Latin.
Just read it in Latin, and if you don't understand something, then you read the book in
English. Habit in familia, sunt mater.
These days, Kate teaches Latin 5 days a week at Champaign's First Presbyterian Church. She tutors students of the Boys and Girls Club, like fifth grader Angelo Barkstall. Angelo is the grandson of Vernon Barkstall, after whom Barkstall Elementary School in Champaign is named. Angelo's reading through a booklet prepared by Kay of stories written in Latin.
In familia, Nicolai.
Yes. Wait a minute. Angelo, did you understand everything that you read? Okay.
Angelo's getting seriously good at Latin. So much so, in fact, that he's already teaching it to his classmates. After Kay finishes up their 10-minute tutoring session, Angelo searches for his friend, Tommy McAvoo. Tommy's a newcomer to Latin. He started learning it from Angelo a couple of weeks ago.
What do you hope to get out of learning Latin?
I think it helped me read much pretty good and get a better level of reading.
Is he a pretty good student?
Yes.
Angelo and Tommy head into a classroom to get to work. Kay's there to supervise.
You take it away, Angelo. You are the teacher now, okay?
You want to do first page? Okay.
All right.
Familium.
Familium. Habit. In family.
In familia.
Pater.
Pater.
Pater. And matter.
You're reading in English.
Oh.
Angelo was one of the first students at the Boys and Girls Club to start learning Latin, and now he's passing it on to other people. And it doesn't just stop there. Kay's designing a curriculum that parents can use to teach it to their kids, even if their parents don't know any foreign language. Deborah McFarlane is the club's director of program services.
I mean, it only started off like maybe two or three kids that were really interested, and we kind of had to prod them to go, but now they're wanting to go to the class, so that says something right there.
McFarlane says within the program's first couple of months, behavior and reading skills have improved. As long as that continues to happen and her students maintain an interest in the program, she says she'll push to keep the language alive at the Boys and Girls Club. Som Johannes Potestastes de Media Publica Illinoisiana. That is, I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
As you make your year-end giving decisions, please consider a gift to WILL. Listener support is the heart and soul of this station, and your gift will help pay for the programs you rely on next year. You can make a contribution online now at willpledge.org